I remember Mark, maybe. I don't remember if he was there. Okay, so he went and became a assistant manager?
No, store manager.
Store manager at another store. So that left the operations.
Right. They're slim pickings now.
That left the operations open. Well, they hired another girl for the job, but she was pregnant. So she went on pregnancy leave.
Baby leave.
And our supervisor, Joe Uppel, is filling in for that spot. So okay. We need somebody to fill in for us. And so we had somebody up until a couple of days ago, and then she got hired for assistant store manager job at another store. So in a couple of days, we'll have another
interim,
which may not be interim DCI.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Booyah. I hate my job.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I don't love mine if it makes you feel any better.
Oh, I know everybody pretty much hates their jobs.
Cody likes his.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he likes it more than he's liked his last job.
Yeah.
But the fact that you still deal with customers, yeah, like you hate that side terrible. Of the job. She asked me before anybody really knew that she'd gotten the job. She comes up to me and she goes, so are you interested in doing like any type of leadership role or anything? I laughed. I was like, no, not here.
Dick.
Bank. Hey, so
we could just rob a bank
real quick. Or let's not
Coca-Cola 600.
That's also a plot of a movie.
So you want to head over to Facebook. You can like the Facebook page. You can
share the Facebook
page. Share. You could share it, Mike. That's actually a really good idea.
You could also comment on stuff.
What?
Ask us
is
questions.
Is that what Facebook's for?
I don't know.
Yes.
Never on it. I didn't know that.
Let's do an AMA.
On Facebook.
Yep. Not on Reddit, because that shit's
Facebook
confusing.
AMA.
Yep. Live, we'll answer your questions live.
Yeah.
You send them in, we'll compile them, and we'll answer them live. Booyah.
Okay. We should do a comes naturally helps episode.
Yep. Where you send us your problems.
You send us questions. We will give you the greatest advice ever. As you could tell by the first part of this conversation, we're all in very good spots in our lives. We all
there's
love what
three
we
answers.
Do.
There's three answers you can give to any question. You can answer anything.
What's the third?
Anal.
Well, yeah.
Duh. Full penetration.
Yeah.
All right. Die Hard.
It's true.
It's a good point.
Die Hard pretty much answers everything.
So send your questions in. We'll pick out which answer fits your question.
Yeah. We're going to call this Not So Love Line.
Yep.
We're way better than that other fucking dumbass show.
Fuck you. Adam Speaking Carilla. Of fuck you, actually, head on over to Twitter, where our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
And you can what, Mike?
Tweet us.
Yeah, you can. You can also follow us on there.
Yeah.
You can then head over to like iTunes and shit. Yeah. And you could actually like subscribe to the show so
what's
it downloads automatically on Friday.
So you mean to tell me there's something that I could do to make it to where this podcast just fucking appears on my phone every
yep.
week?
Yep.
It's true.
I am so lazy. So that sounds great.
Yeah.
What else can you do on iTunes?
You can rate the show. You could write a review
five
about
star.
The show. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Five least, star.
You know, that's just mean. And then, you know, you could share it with other people as well.
You could, and I'm going to tell you this, and it's not a guarantee because the lawyer said we can't guarantee this, but as much as I can legally guarantee you, instant enlightenment if you five-star review and comment on our shit.
It's true.
You will feel so much better about yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
Opportunities will present themselves to you.
Including anal.
Including anal.
And full penetration.
Giving or receiving.
Yep.
We don't care. Mm-mm. Whatever floats your boat, guys.
Yeah.
We're not like...
We don't judge people here.
Yeah. We are like our own little country. This is not Trump's America right here. This
comes naturally America.
Where you can get fucked or fucked in the ass.
That's right.
However you want to do it.
Yep. All special while watching business. Die Hard.
Watching Die Hard.
Yep.
And then if you really want to have an odd time, play the podcast over the whole thing. You also, the lawyers said we can't do this, but every one of our podcasts will perfectly lay over an audio track over Die Hard.
Will.
Yeah. Like every single one of them.
It matches you play up perfectly. Backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Speaking of that, actually, we are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody. That was a really good ad you heard right before there. Oh yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of Die Hard, actually, Joe is pointing out something. Joe, would you like to explain to the listening audience as well as Michael?
I came across this a couple days ago, and it's due out October 17th of this year. It is a Die Hard Christmas, the illustrated holiday classic. It's like a literally, kid's book? It looks like a children's book. I was trying to bring up more images of it. There we go.
I hope it's I hope it's the actual script.
Like,
oh, that's pretty. But hilarious.
Done out like a children's book. Does it? Yeah. Blood. Okay, cool. Yeah. I was gonna say. I hope it's adult, but looks like a child's
book. It looks hilarious and fantastic. I want this so bad.
Also, speaking of that, did you see the new box set that's coming out for Die Hard?
Yes, I did. What?
That comes with a Nakatomi Tower.
I honestly thought that that came out already. It was a while ago that I saw it.
It might have already come out. I saw a thing about it online. Let's see. Die Hard Collection. Typing into the internet machine. I don't know how to spell collection, apparently. It'll fix itself on the other
end. So does it give you all three Die Hards?
Yes, it gives you all three Die Hards. It does actually give you all three Die Hards. Yeah.
Yeah, they have it on eBay for $314.
What?
Well, it's eBay.
That is eBay, but that's what it looks like.
That's pretty dope.
Tommy Plaza.
There's a little Hans Gruber falling off the side of it.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
I wish there were. It would be dope.
Well, now the one that they are selling is fucking garbage, so way to ruin it, everybody. Way to ruin it.
Thanks, Fox.
Yep.
You dicks.
Way to ruin everything, Fox.
Did you ever finish the season of Lethal Weapon?
Oh, look, $74 on Amazon.
Regular price, well, you see eBay with free shipping, $314.10, or over on eBay for $59.95. Let's see what the Amazon, you said $79 on Amazon?
$79 on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now.
$74.47.
Or sorry, 74, yep.
It is pretty cool, though.
It is Blu-ray.
It's called the Nakatomi Plaza Die Hard Collection, which you would think would be the first movie, because that's the only one that takes place in Nakatomi Tower. But
You see it in the third one, though.
You do.
The flashback.
And they talk about it in the second one.
Yeah.
Includes five collectible villain cards.
Villain cards?
And an explosive 32-page behind-the-scenes booklet that will blow you away.
That's weird.
It's going to blow you away. Sorry, God, what's up?
Nothing.
All right, cool.
Mike stumbled over the blow you part and was just like,
Now I'm just thinking about getting it.
Now he's got a confusion erection and is like,
I'm confused, but I have an erection. I was trying to find if it gave like digital editions of all the movies, which would be awesome.
Product details.
But I do not see it.
Doesn't say anything there.
Nope. So that's garbage.
Hot garbage.
Give me digital editions along with it. Preferably ones with
give me
iTunes.
Digital or give me death.
Editorial reviews. Yippee ki-yay. Die Hard fans. He just missed an opportunity to cuss in his own review.
Plus it's not ki-yay. It's yippee ki-yay.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Falcon.
Mr. Falcone. Yeah, I love that. The TV edited version of number two.
I thought we were combining
Last
Boy Scout with Die Hard. I was about to be the hardest you could possibly imagine.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Nope.
Kind of just pretty much. I like to think it's in the same world.
It's a. What happens if he doesn't get in the police academy? He becomes a private dick. Yeah.
Private dick.
As opposed to those public dicks.
You know, this came out last year, it looks like, too.
I literally just saw an ad or something for it. I thought Mike would enjoy it.
Mike did enjoy it.
Last year.
Yeah, he did. It's no...
When's the last time you watched a Die Hard movie?
Die Hard 1 I watched, like, last month.
Yeah.
I think, like, last month, yeah.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't Die Hard. It was Die Hard 2. It was. I don't know why I watched it. Oh, I do know why. Because it was on one of the movie channels. And I happened to actually be watching actual, like, real TV. And I was like...
It does include digital copies for all the movies.
But
they're ultraviolet.
Yeah. I mean, ultra lame is what they mean.
Yep.
So skip over that little one unless you just want a cool Nakatomi Tower.
Right. And I don't.
Yeah.
I
mean, I would.
But if I had, like, unlimited funds.
True.
Because I, unlike some people, I got some room to fill up. I got some space. I could use some shit.
Yeah, you could.
But shit costs money, yo.
Right?
Money. It costs money. Yeah, so...
What's that?
What's up?
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about in this week's edition of the esteemed podcast?
Figured we'd talk about that big movie that came out last week.
It? What? Can we call it It Chapter 1?
We can.
Is that a spoiler?
No. We can. Because
everyone...
Because it actually says it right here on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, well, it does now, yeah.
After the screenings.
Yeah, because I mean, it didn't really know. I was wondering what they were going to do. Like, what? How are they going to call it? Like, what are they going to call it? Like, It Part One? Like, what's it going to be? Because nothing, none of the promotional stuff said anything. It was just
It.
Which I thought was really cool because it wasn't Stephen King's It. It was just It. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought that was weird, actually.
He doesn't He doesn't like his names on front of the stuff unless it's his.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he didn't produce this one, so he's not going to put his name in front of it. Even though he actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
Did like it.
Unlike that Shining movie.
Which he did not like at all.
Which is a good movie.
So much so.
I understand why he doesn't like it.
He has softened to it over time, yeah. But when they first made it, he absolutely hated it because they...
The words deplorable came up.
Yeah, he thought that they took everything away from it that was the story from the book.
Which, I mean, if you've read the book and you've seen either version of it, the movie or the TV miniseries, right?
It was like a little two-parter thing.
The miniseries did a lot better job of capturing the essence of the book.
But was less Kubrick's, of a movie?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. Less quality of a movie?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kubrick, like, that's a good movie. If you take the source material out of it,
yeah, if you
it's
take
a good
it,
movie. Because I, obviously, when I saw it, I was like 8, so of course I never read the book.
Yeah.
I still haven't read the book. But I understand what the, you know, I've looked up the things that weren't in it, and it's pretty fucking astonishing that kind of shit didn't make it into the movie. You know?
And the shit it didn't make didn't actually wasn't the same used the same way.
Yeah. But the movie's dope.
I enjoyed the movie a lot. Just yeah. I mean I enjoyed it before,
it's
but
so unsettling.
Yeah.
That's the cool part about it too, is the same kind of vibe to it. It was just unnerving, mm-hmm. for long stretches. Like there's some jump scares, there's some legit jump scares too. But like most of the fear in the movie is based around like suspense and just uneasiness in the situation. It's one thing I wanted to ask you before we got into, because you read the book, is every adult in that world just a dickhead?
No,
because I got that vibe from the movie. I was like, every fucking adult, mm-hmm. in this movie is a piece of shit.
It's so in the world of It, in the kingdom, if you want to call it that, Derry Maine has this aura or essence in it that causes certain things to happen. One is people become complacent to very terrible things. So you know how they say, like, if you're in, like, New York, and you're getting mugged, most people are just going to walk by, not going to do anything. Same idea. It's an everyday thing, but they don't even register what it is. Like, for example, so if you've seen the movie or if you read the book, there's a part where Henry Bowers and his gang are literally almost about to kill a kid.
He's carving his... He's going to
carve his name into his stomach. He carves an entire H. A car drives by, and the folks just look, and then drive up. They don't slow down. They don't stop. They just look and they continue driving. Mm-hmm. The what you're supposed to get out of that scene is when they drive by and you see the red balloon pop up. The influence of Pennywise or it is masking the entire town. It makes them blind to certain things. So you're supposed, I think, and again, this is me. In the book, it describes it a little more, but in the movie, if you're if you think of this way, the influence he has in over the town is just like the scene with Beverly and the blood in the bathroom. Her dad comes in and sees none. I mean, the bathroom's literally covered in blood, and he doesn't see any of it. Same idea. They drive by, they just see a bunch of kids hanging out on the side of the road, and that's it. Yes, to us, the viewers, like, they're pinning this fat kid down. To them, there's like, oh, bunch of kids, just drive on by. And then you see the balloon letting you know that there's an influence in that, and it's just blank to them. Same thing is like when, like, they're riding into town, right? And they go up and they're trying to patch him up. They're trying to patch Ben up. He's bleeding out of his gut. They pass several adults. Like, no one says anything.
No.
Then also, Eddie breaks his arm. Spoiler alert. His mom's bringing him to the hospital. Ben is standing there with gouges in blood just hanging out of his stomach, completely oblivious to it. Like, he's got a physical wound on him, and she's just, like, more worried about, like, granted, yes, she's a crazy overprotective mother, but I'm thinking any woman who sees that should be like, you need help as well.
Yeah.
But she's got the mask where she wants to divide the kids because of the, again, because I think the influence of Pennywise over her, it, she wants to then separate the kids so she then can see Eddie's broken arm, but is oblivious to Ben's gaping wounds on his stomach. Because that gives her a reason to separate Eddie from the group by, you know, bringing him to the hospital, getting a cast, putting him through all the tests and blah, blah, blah. Which it works for a little while, and then he stands up to her.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. And there's a more subtle hints towards that you get where you have, like, the kids that go missing.
Yep.
But there's no giant police investigations into this.
They put up posters
posters, but then
they humor the one lady.
They might just cover up the one poster with the next one and the next one. Yeah.
Which you would think that would, you people in other parts of the country and world would be like, yeah, oh, there's a serial killer on the loose or something. Yep.
The vibe I got for, and what you're saying makes sense. Saying makes sense, but the vibe I got was just like, everyone sucks.
But you find out about, like, all the other deaths in the past. Like, there's an what's his name, the big kid,
Ben
makes the reference that it's 10 times the national average, the
for
number
for adults,
and
for
it's
adults,
worse for kids,
and it's worse for kids, and yet that means that that everybody in that town is just completely oblivious.
To and the fact that he finds news articles referencing this so he can do his research, plus a book of Derry's history talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, it raised no flags for these people. Like, hey, like, every 27 years, roughly, a shit ton of people just disappear.
Yep.
Now, in, like, 1607, okay, I get that. People move. Certain times, you don't want to be in Maine in general, like wintertime, because that shit freezes over, like legitimately freezes over. So, yes, you would wagon west, you know what I mean? Like, get the fuck out of there, south, whatever it is, you just disappear. Back then, fine. Say, like, you know, 1985, or 1988 as this movie is, you would think a distraught mother would go more than just, you know, hang out at the school hoping the kid shows up. She'd be wanting something to get done. But even it comes down to even, like, Georgie's dad, when he's talking to Bill, he's just flat out says, yes, he's dead. Like, get over it. Like, no, like, what the really? You're trying to tell me your young child goes missing, and yes, you're upset, I get it, but you don't want to find out? Like, your other son is literally trying to investigate where his body could be or where he could be found, and you have no interest in trying to help or anything like that. I think just no, he's dead, he's gone. Like, get over it. It's like, the fuck, really? We'll go impressions real quick. I super enjoyed the movie, so much so that I've seen it twice and want to see it more. But What do you got? Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the movie. I honestly, going into it, everyone hyping it up, I was a little worried. Because when something gets this much hyped, I'm like, man, either it is really good or people are just so starved for, like, they want this to be good. So they kind of manifest that because that's happened before in movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off, but I had that same feeling when I saw celebrities and stuff talking about it. I always get, and not celebrities I trust. Like, there's certain people that you just can't say, like, yes or no. Like, Chris Hardwick just loves everything he sees. Yeah. Granted, his job is to, you know,
do that. Everything so, he sees.
Yeah. And it's not even that's bothers me. It's just people who, like, when you have people say, oh, it's, you know, the movie is super awesome, you guys should see it. I'm like, but you're a celebrity, so, like, you have influence. Yeah. But then when, like, again, I don't read reviews, but I start seeing reviews and pop up, and it's all positive stuff, like talking about this, and it's not that, oh, it's 99%, or if it's 5 stars, but it's an actual, like, real number, I get super excited, because that means that there's actual substance to it, because it didn't do this very top or very bottom type thing. You know what I mean? It was like, it was, oh, yeah, there was people who didn't enjoy it. Because obviously, like, there's going to be people who wanted to watch it, but because it had little kids using bad words and talking about penises, they're just not going to enjoy it, because there's
a lot of dick jokes.
Yes, there were, which was hilarious.
Yes, that kid is amazing.
Way more than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that I know is going to have an effect on that, and those people are definitely there. Like, just people who like scary movies, but when you have little kids being terrible little, like, people, mm-hmm. like, people are going to be upset about it, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like I said, I didn't read any reviews because I don't care what people say, but I'm glad to see that it was getting positive reviews, and I'm also glad to see that it wasn't just, you know, like, the big names going, like, oh, yeah, you know, this, but so, go ahead.
Push your own shit.
Yeah.
So I was a little weary going into it, but I enjoyed it a lot. I thought and they did Pennywise correctly. They very conservative with the on-screen time of Pennywise, which I think is the way to go, because I'd rather want to see more than feel like, oh yeah, I got everything I needed to get, you know what I mean? Because I know a second one's coming, and I know he's probably going to be more prominent in that second one, and it probably will be
about the same.
It's written like that, and it's, but, well, yeah, if you take it to a movie though, like, he's gonna be more prominent in this. At least I'm guessing he's gonna be more prominent. Should be. The dude who did Pennywise did a great job.
Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, he's dope.
Creepy as fuck.
And the kids, all the kids were good.
So good.
And we talked about this ad nauseum on the show before, but, like, man, when you have a group of kids in a movie, or like a pivotal role in a movie is a kid, you're fucking rolling the dice, dude, because I'm never gonna be mad at a kid for being a shitty actor, because, like, kids shouldn't be actors, but at the same time, like, this movie needed a group of kids to be good,
and it literally
kids that nailed this shit. Yeah. Like, knocked it out of the park. Like, all of them did good.
Yeah, the main seven, the Losers Club, Henry Bowers and his friends, so that's right there is 11.
Yeah.
You add, like,
those dudes were a little bit older.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, they're young
still.
They're
acting, yeah,
do you know what I mean? You have you throw in Georgie, so that makes 12. Greta, who I literally wanted to get seen hit, yeah, by a truck, like, right? That, god damn it, dude! I've never wanted physical pain done to a little kid in my entire life. That little bitch. And the funny thing is, like, her second scene that you see her in, like, really is the one with Eddie, and it's funny in a way, but god, you're just like, fuck you, you.
Yeah,
Jesus,
she's awful.
Yeah, dude, but yeah, to my point,
that's showing that the girl playing her.
Yeah, exactly. Really, yeah, 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 you know. But yeah, like to Mike's point though, it was from the youngest child who played Georgie, and I don't know his name. I could look it up. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
To the oldest, which I'm gonna guess is probably like Patrick, the one that got taken first from the gang, yeah, or even like Henry. Like, all of them are really good. Like, I kept thinking, hey, like Patrick Hochstetter, the one that goes missing, like the flame guy, I kept thinking, is that Adam Driver's little brother? Like,
yeah, he did.
He's gangly like him. And I was like, oh. But, like, he was such a good little prick bastard, and then, like, he legitimately looked scared, But the part that got me is when he gets away from the first time and he runs into the bars and the balloon and the sheer terror on his face with the blood. I was just like, dude, this kid.
Yeah.
I know he's a bit part for most of it, but dude,
pivotal though. Whew, yeah. And he nailed it.
Nailed that shit. And Henry, like little Kevin Bacon little motherfucker.
Oh, you got that too.
Yeah, dude, the upturned nose. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was like, yo, this kid's a dick.
Yeah.
Like, but also amazing.
You know, he reminded me of
Kevin Bacon.
Is, yeah. No, but like even like a younger dude is
that's the one.
The young white dude that played like the quarterback in Friday Night Lights.
You know what I'm talking about? The TV show or the movie?
The movie.
I never saw that movie.
He was in one of the Furious movies too. I can't remember his fucking name.
Hey, all I can think of is Varsity Blues because that's Dawson. Paul Walker.
And Dawson Creek. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Vanderbeek.
Keep going.
It doesn't matter. Nope,
looking it up.
But my favorite part of the movie.
We're going to go to that in a minute. We'll go to the favorite stuff in a minute.
Okay. Well, and Joe,
what do you think?
I can literally sum up my thoughts of the movie by saying what I said after the movie was done. So as soon as the credits started rolling, I thought to myself, like, where does this stand in the horror movies that I like? And it honestly jumps to number 3.
Really?
So
number 3, huh? Yeah, I thought you said 5 when we got done.
No, I said 3.
Okay.
Because obviously I can't throw Alien off of number 1. And
I mean, you could.
No, I can't. Like, I physically can't. I'm pretty sure I'd get sick and die if I replaced Alien with sick a different and movie. Die. And then I have a special place in my heart for the thing.
The original one.
Mostly because of that ending and just how much it leaves you guessing. But this here, while it does have jump scares, and I've always considered jump scares to be some of the cheapest type of horror in this genre, it does it really well. Especially the scene that we see in the trailers all the time, where they're showing this is the kid from
Friday Night Lights.
Greg.
No, that's not the one I was talking about.
You mean the main kid? The one that tears his ACL?
I'll find him. Hold on.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So the scene that we see a ton of times in almost all of the trailers that I can remember is the scene with the projector.
Yes.
And it's just going through and eventually it's showing Pennywise's face, and in the trailers it just cuts there. But you find in the actual movie, you see Pennywise staring, you know, the projector gets kicked over and you see Pennywise staring at that kid. You know, he's on the wall and the kid's just off to the side and he's staring at the kid. Absolutely creepy. Lights go out and then suddenly you see Pennywise coming out
of the giant, oddly shaped Pennywise
coming out of the projector screen. Genuine jump scare, genuinely terrifying, and it was perfect. It wasn't the type of jump scares that you see in many other horror movies where they're
they weren't cheap.
It made sense in the
scene that was happening.
Yeah,
that. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, he jumped up and he just kept jumping up. Like, mm-hmm. It was clever the way he kept appearing. And or like when, was the young chubby kid in the library? Ben? When he's running from that awkward, headless fucking body and that... Oh, the way it was creepy.
Like, it was creepy.
It wasn't running fluently. It was running real herky jerky and odd, and then all of a sudden Pennywise is right there, and Pennywise has this thing in this movie where he's always shaking.
Hey, fat boy.
Yeah, and he's always so jittery and stuff, and it just adds a level of fucking unsettledness to it. Yeah. So,
but even then, in the nonchalance, the way they show him sometimes, and the scene that really pops to my mind when is the scene where they're sitting.
Henry Bowers is there beating up on Mike.
Yeah, and he's just in the background. He's munching on this little kid's arm, and then he looks up and just waves the little kid's arm. Ugh. It's so nonchalant. It has nonchalant.
That fucked up smile. It's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the beginning of the movie, the way the movie begins, where you see him for the first time, it's not a jump scare or anything like that. It's a sudden reveal, yes, But the whole sequence just was terrifying, even though nothing happens, really. Well, I mean, relatively for that beginning of that sequence, yes. What's his name? Georgie gets his arm literally bitten off. I remember seeing
the way he gets drug away too. They do. They do it so
and
well.
It was terrifying. You know what's going to happen, but the way it was done was just still absolutely terrifying.
Which is actually different from the book.
How did it happen in the book?
Because the book, he never got drug under. He got his arm ripped off, as they think.
So that happens in the movie.
But he's found by that lady. So what I thought was going to happen. So if you've seen the movie already, if you haven't seen this movie, we're going to spoil shit.
We already have. Yeah,
we already have. But like majorly stuff, it's going to happen. Yahtzee. So the way in the movie, I literally when I watched the first time, I was trying to remember how those things happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I was like, oh, criticism. I just want to see what they did because I knew they changed a bunch of stuff. In the movie, he reaches up, bites his arm off. You hear him like that laugh, and Georgie's crawling away, and then you see an arm start to reach out, and you're like, well, there's no way he's going to fucking reach him. And you see it's getting a little too long, but I like the way they did it because they cut away before you see, like, unnaturally how long it would have to be, and then he gets drugged back underneath, and it cuts to the lady back on her porch, and she looks over, and all she sees is blood in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's just boom, right past her, right? Because that was the whole thing, is like the adults just don't have, they have these blinders on, right? In the book, he doesn't get drugged back into the storm drain. He bleeds out in the street, in the rain, and a neighbor comes over and sees and gets him. So they have the body. They know what happened, or they know he's dead. They just don't know what happened because his arm's fucking ripped off. There's a reference later on when Billy sees him, much similar to what he does later in the movie, but he has a tattered, torn sleeve with blood on the end of it instead of both arms, like he was at the end of the movie. That's very similar, but he's in the raincoat still. That was one of the... I'm not going to say, like, oh, it took away from it. I think having him going missing just like the other kids.
Makes it better.
Throughout the books, the bodies do show up for some of them, just not all of them. And then later on, they see evidence of them. It's really not a big deal to me. I think I actually prefer the way they did it, where he goes missing completely. I think it's kind of fucked up. A neighbor found him with his arm ripped off, bleeding to death in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
But seeing a giant blood puddle in the rain, pouring rain, is very unsettling because she's just like, all right, well, he's not there anymore, and walks away.
Yeah.
And that cute little kitty.
The other things I loved about the movie were some of the Easter eggs, and I know I didn't pick up on all of them because I haven't read the book. And I don't remember a whole lot from the original series.
Yeah, I had
series.
A problem with the giggles. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine because it keyed in some points where I was like, oh, yeah, that. I totally missed somebody pointed out that the Pennywise clown from the original miniseries was in the background of
twice.
That. See, I was only told of the part where the clown.
Yep, so in that room. So one thing that it's hard to see, and I don't want to cut into this, but I had to bring this up to somebody. In that room, if you're paying attention, there's all the giant dolls of the clowns.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Pennywise. One of them is Bozo, which I thought was really...
Oh, I missed good. That one too.
Because it's crucial because Bozo is what he based Pennywise the Dancing Clown around.
It wasn't Bozo.
For the Tim Curry visual.
Okay.
In the movie, in the original.
Okay.
That's what he was based on. Yes, and
you can you can definitely see that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Stephen King was different. I thought you were talking about Pennywise himself.
No.
He took on the moniker of Pennywise the Dancing Clown from somebody else in the 1700s. You see the train car, I think it is?
Yeah.
Both in the sewer and in that picture.
Yep.
Anyway, keep going.
Yep. So in that room, every single one of the giant marionette ones is a painted portrait of him behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at Tim Curry's Pennywise, the OG one from 1990, up on the wall behind him is a portrait of it.
Oh, wow.
And super creepy because you have that one looks like a normal clown and the back ones are all dingy and gross. So mm-hmm. That was really cool. Go ahead.
I think in that scene, I was so focused on that fucking coffin.
Yeah.
Because I thought, and another cool scare is I thought I knew what would happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. What did happen was actually more gruesome and terrifying than what I thought.
That scene actually was different the first time they shot it.
Really?
By the way, a little behind the scenes. So, originally Pennywise didn't jump out of the coffin.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't hear either, really.
He does. So it flips back open, he pops out of it and lands on top.
Yeah, I'm just saying at the beginning there. Yeah, like, no, I expected that from the beginning, but what we got.
Yeah, the way first. It was different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened is, he keeps shifting from place to place inside the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you would see him behind one, you'd see him behind another one and across the room. So obviously you couldn't physically move that way. And then the organ in the back, which you barely see, starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an object that looks like it's, like, you know, covered. And obviously they all get uncovered miraculously. It's him playing. So every time Richie turns, you see the one at the organ moving. Mm-hmm. And that was originally supposed to be him. And he's supposed to spin around and be right there. But they changed it to be like a jack-in-the-box.
Yeah, which was fantastic. Which
obviously plays back later on in the movie, too. Yeah, so I thought it was interesting, a little way of doing it. There's a behind-the-scenes video you can watch as a featurette that actually has Stephen King talking about it. And they show that scene where you see the figure in front of the organ moving. And it has that lumbering look to it, like he has. And then when all the sheets pull off, you can see it's him from behind. And that's when it pops up, the lid of the coffin pops up, and you see, you know, found with the poster. And then he goes up and sees himself, and he's supposed to touch it and be like, well, he's supposed to look at that. That's, you know, pulls the sheet off. That's creepy. It's the lid supposed to slam down, and he's supposed to be right there in his face. So
wow.
A little differently, but yeah.
But the final Easter eggs that I know that I was told about, one, you said not the lumberjack,
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan, that's what it is. Yeah, because again, I haven't read the books.
Back in chapter two, yeah.
Yeah, it will be in chapter two, but it was like a nice nod to show that it is there and it'll play a role again in the future. You have the transformations that he started making at one point, because in the book, he's supposed to transform into a werewolf to try and scare one of the kids.
Yes.
He doesn't do that so much in the movie, but you see his hand in the first real encounter that the Losers Club has with him in the house. And you even see it in the trailer. His hand transforms into something sharp, and that ends up being a nod to the werewolf. He was, like, slowly transforming into the werewolf, which there's more to it because the kids have seen the Wolfman or whatever it was
werewolf.
Yeah, because the original book takes place in the 50s, and that's when that movie had come out at that time. But a couple of ones that I loved from the Dark Tower series were the turtle references.
Yep,
and I had to go look it up afterwards just to learn a bit about Pennywise, because again, I don't really remember the original TV series that much, and I haven't read the books again. Is that the turtle and Pennywise have been enemies for time immemorial.
Yep.
Turtle's good, Pennywise is bad. So every time you saw so they made reference initially to the tortoise that they ran into in the rock quarry, which was pretty cool. And then you see the Lego tortoise when
Billy.
Yeah, I was going to say Stuttering Bill.
Which they never actually call him.
Which they never actually called him, yeah. Gets in Georgie's room. Just before he hears the weird running and then goes down to the basement thing. So I thought that was
real
quick, cool.
The shadow
on the door,
just being on the door while he's in there and then it walking away. No noise, no, like, nope. It's off center to the camera. You're not, it's so well done. Like, it's so good.
And I brought that up to someone at work when we were talking about it, and they did not actually see it.
That's what makes it good.
That's so well done. Because what happens is, so if you guys don't know, we're talking about the part where water starts leaking on Bill's face when he's sleeping. He goes to get a bucket. The light clicks on in Georgie's room, so he turns around and goes to look. When he goes in there, he starts seeing all the stuff that Georgie had, all his toys, which obviously makes him sad. And he starts holding a Lego turtle. The camera starts to pull, kind of widen the scene, and if you're not paying attention, on the mostly open door is a cast shadow of what looks to be a little kid.
Yeah.
And then it darts away. And because of that motion, the movement of something in his peripherals, he gets distracted, walks out, and sees the muddy boot prints inside on the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, and like Mike said, that scene, another reason why this is such a great horror movie, because it doesn't sit there and try and scare the audience. It does a lot of subtle things in the background that just unnerve you. And the music will play a lot into that. I would think that many other horror movies would probably play like some, you know, dun-dun note to something like that to...
It'd ham it up.
To ham it up, exactly. But here it's no music. Yeah, I think it's just raining at the time, so you hear that in the background. And you're really feeling for this kid who's so trying to find his little brother. And then it happens just in the background, and you see it, and then it goes away. So absolutely amazing. But anyway, so that's... I would love to go see it again, and eventually I will get around to the book. I think I have like 5 more Stephen King books to go before I get to it, because I'm going order release. So it'll be really interesting to see what more Easter eggs from the book that they have, especially in the Total series, when they finally finish it. In 2019 is when the other one's supposed to come out.
Yeah, which really is depressing to me.
It really is. But I don't know. I would like to see this somehow included in the Dark Tower series if they do end up going further with... I know the Dark Tower is supposed to turn into a TV series next.
Based on the prequel story?
Yeah, based on A Wizard in Glass.
Yeah, which is a prequel book, story.
Which is a prequel story. I really do hope that the Dark Tower series does continue down the road, but I don't think it did very well here in the States. May do well other places. But yeah, that's... I like the movie. Cody?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Like I said, I liked it so much that I literally every day, so Thursday night, we went and saw it. I wanted to see it literally every chance I could get. Like, I wanted to go Friday morning, but I couldn't because no one was going to go with me. I mean, go by myself. I'm not afraid. I don't like seeing movies by myself. And then my buddy Matt was going Friday afternoon, but I wasn't able to make it, so I couldn't go there. And then I like Saturday, no one could go. We were going to plan on going after work, but stupid work got in the way. And then obviously Sunday I saw it with Jen and Mike. And then ever since, every day I just want to see it again, just to try to see if I can find more stuff in it that I didn't see before. The other thing, so Paul Bunyan is obviously a big one, the turtle. I don't know how much they're going to go into the meaning of the turtle in the second movie, so in chapter 2.
Well, even if they don't go to it much in it itself, like I'm saying, like if they include more of that in the Dark Tower series, and you start to weave more of his stories together, more of his movies together, instead of having them be singular things, even though in his world they're all connected in one way or another. I think in the book they kind of explain better. They kind of explain his past. Yeah. I mean, so I'm also hoping that in the movie, in the second half of this movie, the chapter 2, that we get a better explanation of him.
Yeah. So in the child era, so the 1950s when they were kids and when they were adults, it explains the origin fully, which is something that Stephen King is not well known of doing.
No.
His supernatural stuff, even in his magnum opus of The Dark Tower, all 7, 8 books, he doesn't explain everything.
No.
He doesn't explain where things come from. He doesn't explain any of that. Doesn't explain shit for the most part, other than the story like you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
But like the overall world, like for example, Gilead is in, you know, in this mythical weird world that's stacked on top of other ones, and he has to go from where is technically Gilead's high world, right?
I think it's high world because you have
high world, mid world, low world, right?
End world,
end world. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you have those, and it's like, what the fuck? Are those technically the same planet? Are they not the same planet? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? You don't get that explanation. Mm-mm. If you're a Stephen King fan, you have to realize you don't get those explanations. You don't get to find out why Carrie literally can make people burst into flames. And why she can throw shit across, or not burst into flames, but throw people across the room and control shit.
You just have to accept that she has some sort of telekinetic ability that she inherited from her grandma.
Yep. And same thing, Salem's Lot, for example. I've never read the book, seen the movie, but you never learn the origins of any of the vampires.
No, you really don't. You just know that Bartlow is the main vampire. He's the one that begins turning everybody, but you just know that he's from Europe somewhere.
Yep.
Somewhere. That's it.
Yep. So like that's what I mean. You don't get those answers. So knowing that in it, he defines. No, I shouldn't say all of it. Most of it. There's a scene they left out of this movie that would have taken too long and would have cost too much money. So the total budget, by the way, for this movie is $35 million. I know that's
it.
Yeah. So worldwide, by the way, any guesses on what worldwide total right now? Worldwide total box office. It's been out for just over a week.
300 mil?
Almost a week.
What? 300 mil?
No.
Because I know that after the first week, this was number 3 on the highest box office.
For the year.
So I'm going to go somewhere around 500?
Nope. Lower.
400.
Nope. Lower.
Much.
Lower than yours.
Oh, really?
209.
209?
209 so far. But you got to remember, R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so far it did have the third largest opening of any movie this year, which is not hard to believe because there hasn't been real big movies.
You know what I mean? Weird.
But to your point of it being an R-rated movie, we went to the 10:15 showing over at the Harkins Cine One.
Yep.
I didn't expect there to be as many people as there were.
Even on Sunday.
Even on Sunday. It was the last Cine One on Sunday. And, you know, that's why we usually do the last showing on Sunday, because the theater's empty. It was still packed.
Yeah.
Oh, I would almost, Thursday night definitely sold out.
Yeah.
I would almost guarantee it was sold out. Sunday night, easily 95%. I don't know if I remember seeing an empty seat. I remember seeing two people leave because they weren't happy with their seats because they were against the wall, but that's their fucking fault for buying tickets late.
Right.
Obviously, or picking the wrong goddamn seats. But yeah, you know, legitimately, it's done. So the scene that I'm talking about, there's two scenes in the book that tell the origin of it. So the one thing that Joe kind of got to about Pennywise being the clown, so it isn't Pennywise. Pennywise is a form it takes.
Right.
So Pennywise is very creepy, just in general. But it's something that can blend in. It gives you that ease of, oh, it's a clown. That's, you know, they're friendly and nice, and then it eats your face. That sort of thing.
And the explanation, a little bit more of that, for at least what I read a little bit when I was reading up on him and his past, was that he goes after kids because they're easier to scare.
Yes.
And being a clown is something that he can use to, get close to kids because you don't consider a clown to be necessarily that evil, but B, kids do have a fear of clowns. People do have fear of clowns.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, the origins are found again two ways. Well, I guess it's three ways. Second, I think about it. So the first way is the kids go on a vision quest. If you don't know what a vision quest is, where you imbibe some kind of drug and you see things. So one of the things they do...
A vision quest is when you're trying to make weight for a wrestling movie.
No, no, Matthew Modine, calm down. So in the book, they literally have a drug-induced vision, and they see this creature crash land on Earth in the time of ancient times.
Like the dinosaurs.
Like way back.
Yeah.
And it happened to land
in Derry,
Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And it is stuck in Derry, Maine. But the creature isn't actually on our plane of existence. It's in between, but it's
can form. Manifest itself.
Yep, its empirical form is stuck here. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't try to leave because it realizes it can feed off of the most lovely thing it possibly can get a hold of, which is fear. Mm-hmm. And it can then takes forms like Pennywise, who is also known as Bob Gray in the real world, air quotes, real world, there, who was a menacing man and was thought to be a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And was a trickster. So that is where Pennywise comes from, that form. And he uses that, and the reason he has to eat is because that form needs sustenance. So he has to feed it somehow, so he feeds on the flesh. But overall, it's pulling fear and eat and consuming that as a source for itself.
Yeah.
Itself. And you're, earlier you were talking about the references to like the things it takes a hold of to make you afraid, and that's why it does it. So it knows that Richie is afraid of the Wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees the Wolfman. Ben is afraid of a mummy, so he sees a mummy.
Yeah.
Eddie sees a leper, blah, 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 all the way down, yeah. Right? So they see this, and this weird... They were you would have to do it in CG because of the way it works like in the book. The other part you learn about is the origin of Bob Gray. And then the last one is the most Stephen King-ish of all of them, is you find out that Billy has The Shining.
Okay.
And he taps into the he breaks that plane in existence and flies when he's younger, goes through the deadlights and flies and actually communicates with the turtle.
Oh, wow.
That holds up our Earth. Well, the Earths, all of them, all the variations from the Dark Tower. And that's why one of the sigils for the Dark Tower is a turtle.
Is a turtle, yeah.
Is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the planets in existence rest on the back of a turtle. It's in the books. He talks to him, and the turtle tells him how to defeat his nemesis. And the reason he crash-landed on Earth is because they got in a battle, and the turtle won.
Mm-hmm.
But the turtle now knows that he's too powerful to have to beat on his own, so they have to find a way. This all takes place when they're facing a giant spider creature, not a traditional spider, even though that's what everyone thinks it is. It's a very spider-ish creature. And the 1991, even though it was terribly done, was the closest to it. It's not really a spider. It just has multiple legs and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
When he comes back, then they realize that if they don't show fear, they overcome their fear, they can defeat him. So they kill him.
Mm-hmm.
When they're adults, they fight him again. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He is again that giant spider. The difference is he knows what they know, and he has killed the turtle. And so Bill says, oh, I know what we need to do this time. We need to work together. So he does the same thing, but he reaches out to the turtle and realizes the turtle is just a corpse, a rotting, dead corpse. But because the turtle is technically in the end of time,
mm-hmm.
It's not gone yet.
Yeah.
It's just gone where he's at because that's where he reached to, meaning that eventually our world will end because the turtle dies.
Yeah.
But if they can defeat Pennywise, maybe that won't come... it won't come to fruition, so they can't use his power to do it anymore. They have to find a different way of doing it. So yeah, that's what it is. Very fucking weird.
But I want that in a movie.
I do. Yes. So
and to be able to just connect that with the Dark Tower, because you got the first movie,
and in this one, so the director said one of the reasons they cut that out is because of how difficult it would be to make it.
Absolutely.
It would be very cost-effective, very costly.
And it might be very confusing for audiences.
Yes. So, I think it's a nice way. We don't actually know where he comes from. Mm-hmm. But what I do like is the little nods to things like when he's attacking them in the sewer and he changes the different forms. And one time you see him turn into the mummy and he mm-hmm. wraps Ben up with the shrouds.
Yeah.
You see it, like, that's a mummy. That's obviously clearly jumps to that, you know what I mean? It's pretty cool. And then when he's going after Stan, who's on the ground, he reaches out, and when he does it, his arms form into mantis arms.
Yeah.
And that's a playback to, to the spider form, because it's, again, it's not a traditional, like, tarantula or whatever. It has these different elements to it, very scorpion-like in a way and things like that, and that just happens to be one of the things that has those pincers on the front. So yeah. Super awesome that way, too. Plus fucking terrifying. Top three scenes. Top favorite scenes. What do you want to call them? Michael. I know we all agree on one of them for sure, I think, if I remember correctly.
One of them would be the projector scene where he jumps out. And like I said earlier, he's giant and oddly shaped. It's not like he's a normal shaped giant. He's like almost like this giant gorilla, almost the way he's hunched over in the garage.
Yep.
And he's taking up the entire goddamn garage, and just all the tension leading up to that. And then for that as the payoff, that scene was pretty dope.
With that scene where I was just like, well, the movie ends here, right?
Yeah.
Cause he took up,
cause he kills
most of the garage and
he just kills them all.
Fuck you guys. We're not having a sequel. He wins.
That'd be a twist.
What a twist.
Oh God.
Another one that I really, really liked, because of the uneasiness of it again, was where we were talking about it when the shadow appears on the door and he runs away. Well, he goes down into the basement. The basement's flooded. Georgie's there in the corner saying, you know, you'll float too, you'll float too.
Yeah.
And his face is slowly getting more and more fucked up as Pennywise is rising out of the water. And again, with that awkward fucking, he's really shaky and fidgety as he's running. He's not just running at you. He's like really fucking oddly and then like coming at you just slightly lower than he should be for how fast he's moving.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so fucked up. Because when he comes out of the water, he's wet. His hair is all wet and there's a rotter running off and he looks extra fucking evil because his hair's not clowned out. It's all matted down because of the water. And then just Georgie increasingly getting louder and creepier with the yelling of you'll float too and his voice changing, and then Pennywise chasing after him and he almost gets him in the leg. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of elements that just that in the actual cellar scene that really are crazy. Like the whole thing, Georgie's getting louder yelling, you know, but then you see Pennywise mouthing. And what I noticed the second time
he's saying it too, like he's controlling Georgie to say it.
Yeah, so what I saw the second time when I saw it is he was. Yeah. So when he goes to run at him, you see him with his hand up, he slams Georgie down to the water.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh fuck, he was a puppet the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's why you saw him in the water the way it was, and he starts to decay because he slams him down, and that's when he runs at the same time. You're like, you see him mouthing, like, fuck, dude, it's a puppet. That's so fucked up. But the other part that got me about that whole scene, when he barely misses Billy as he's running, he's laying on he's on the side, like, looking up the stairs,
and
his eyes roll back, and he slithers off the stairs, and you're like,
yeah, he doesn't,
fuck? Yeah.
He doesn't lift his head up and come back. He drags his face across, like he's being pulled back. Oh, so creepy.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
And then the other one, too, is just, and this might be chalk, like, this might go pretty much a couple of these probably be the same for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
But the end fight scene, they're just gang style beating the fuck out of Pennywise, and it is awesome. Because at this point, like, you know, we know what the story's going to. We know how that ending goes, but you build up so much fucking hatred towards them.
Yeah.
Like, the movie does its job of making you emotionally invested, because you kind of forget, you stop thinking, is this going to play out like this? Is it? And you're just fucking all in. And my favorite part about that was the start of it. Who's the foul mouth fucking dick joke kid?
Richie Tozier.
And
Richie the Mouth.
Ricky is telling him, like, this is all your fault. You made me do this. You made me do this, blah, blah, blah. And he's going through this list, and you're like, fuck, is he going to bail right now?
Right.
And then he grabs the bat like a fucking pimp, and he's like, and now you're going to make me kill this fucking clown. I was like, fuck yeah, get him! Get him! Like,
get that motherfucker!
I thought I was at a sporting event. I was like, yeah!
Swing through the fences, Richie!
So that part, and then like I said, and they're just beating the shit with everything that they have, too. Like, they're just grabbing random shit and just knocking the fuck out of them. And they're taking turns. Like, he fucks up one kid, and the other kid comes at him, and one kid jumps on his back, and people, like, that one kid start biting his fucking arm. Like, they're just going all at it. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. This, like, is how you handle this shit.
All seven are just, they're trying anything they
can. Anything. Biting, scratching, stabbing with shit. Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then the way, again, to go back to the creepiness, even though you, like, at this point you won, And Pennywise is scarily fucking skirting, like, not stepping away. He's on the ground, and it looks like his hands is what's controlling his entire body. Like, he's just backing away, backing away. Ah, so good. So good. That's my three favorite parts.
Joseph!
So even though these didn't make my favorite parts list, I want to say there are a couple parts of the end.
Slideshow didn't make your favorite?
No, I'm just, I'm an aside.
Oh, okay.
These are, well, oh, what I'm about to say is not
okay, I thought not you meant my three. Like, what the fuck's wrong with
but you? But I just want to expand on my couple favorite parts of the ending. One being the really weird dance that he does. I don't know, it just sticks in my head.
Inside the train car?
Yeah, so you got the fireworks that come off, and the thing comes down, and he's just got this glum, just face, and he's just, you know...
But his head stays
Pennywise,
still?
Yeah, yeah, head stays still, and the camera's shaking back and forth, and it's just Pennywise the dancing clown, and then he does that run to to
but then the high knee jump, run. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then the jump and the way he lands on that thing. Because that's the weird thing about this is they blended this. He has that awkward run, but then he does really athletic, fluent motions when he really needs to. So it's like he's different things when he needs to be. It's like he knows that run's creepy, but he knows if he got to get and haul ass somewhere, he's very fluent like an athlete, which was weird. Like that jump, like that was an athlete jump. You know what I mean? That's not an actor fucking, oh, I'm going to look heroic. You know what I mean? Like it's in movies that would be hard to play off, but that's like he just hauled ass and got there and he landed like he should land and in an attack pose, which was super dope.
But my second favorite part of the ending is the kiss. There's a weird thing about this movie that in the most terrifying situations, they have something, they, you know, a character says something, mostly Richie, that just makes you laugh. And you have the kids come in, they pull down
Beverly.
I was going to say Beth. Beverly. And they're like, she won't wake up. And then Ben is just like, I know what's going to happen or what to do. And he kisses her, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty type kiss, and then backs away and nothing happens, and he just looks so heartbroken. And
yeah, so well, that's funny. When he does it, you hear him go, oh, what? And then yeah, like you see Mike just go like, whoa, and then like, yeah, it's like that, and then he's like, they realize, oh, he's like, he's gonna, this is gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then he backs away and she's just still like that, and there's just like,
he looks so crushed.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
but then she does wake up. Yeah. But yeah, so of the end, those are my two favorite scenes of the end. But so, getting to the whole movie.
Yep, top three scenes.
My top three scenes. Number three, the slideshow.
Yeah.
And I think we've gone over it's one of my favorite scenes. Two is the whole beginning sequence where Georgie loses his arm.
Yep.
And that's just because when Pennywise looks up for the first time and he's slightly covered in shadow, but you can just see those piercing eyes.
But it's not even just the orange, yellow, gold thing.
It's the whole eye.
It's just, it almost looks like they're glowing out of the darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he has that, because it's Bill Skarsgård, you know, he can look that slightly off. You know, they're not looking at Georgie. They're off center, and it's just, it's creepy. And the whole sequence, you know, like I said before, you know what's going to happen, but how it plays out is just so good, so terrifying, so creepy, so amazing. Number one is the first time that they actually enter the house
on Ebolt Street together.
On Ebolt Street together, exactly. And it's just because
Eddie never went in that time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just because you got the individual experiences with the kids, but here you started to get more of the combined stuff. Yes, he did, isolate the kids, and it was just, incredibly fluid and horrific, or, you know, what he did, starting with the missing poster of Richie. And you have the clown sequence out there. You have the it kind of made me laugh, but it was, god damn it, it was the sequence where they
fuck
have
their legs.
Yeah, the three doors. You have the three
not
doors.
Not scary at all. Scary, really scary.
And I'm
or
like,
very scary.
I'm thinking to myself, like, this is going to be a reverse thing. You have to pick the very scary door and nothing will happen. And sure enough, they pick the not scary door.
Not scary at all.
Yeah,
not scary at all.
Yep. Yeah, not scary at all.
And it's what's her name missing her legs. And you just, you just hear Richie shout, "Where are her legs?"
Yeah.
And they close the door and they're just like, it's not, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And they open the door again and it's just the hallway on the other side. And that's also the first scene where you finally see that Pennywise can be hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely amazing where Beverly just shoves that, what was it? It was a fence post. It was a fence post. Yeah.
Iron fence, yeah.
Right through his head. And you can tell he was in mid-transformation. I mean, because that's where you see the glove part where he transfers the hand. But just the way the mouth and the skin all curl up and he has that, like, you know, stance.
Disproportionate size.
Disproportionate. And the kids are coming together. They're, you know, it's that love, kind of like love conquers all. And they're not really afraid, you know, even though they kind of are. And he's just like, oh, shit, this is going wrong. And he kind of like slithers backwards all the way to the basement. And so that was probably my favorite scene of the whole movie. Cody?
It was hard for me to pick.
It is. Three, it's very hard.
Because I like the whole fucking movie. I guess the three I'll stick with are the ones I thought of
earlier,
like the right after, like, I think it was the next day when I texted you, Tim.
It was Adam.
Yeah. I said my top three. So number three would be the bloody bathroom.
Yeah.
That scene, for two reasons, is the only scene where Pennywise terrorizes somebody and isn't seen.
Right. Which, as an aside note, did you go back and see the
TV series? Piss poor original one, yeah. I watched it the night before.
Yeah, afterwards I saw a video. They were comparing the TV version versus this version, and they showed that scene, and it was just like a bleh, and then that was it. Of just blood coming from the sink, and then going back to this one where it covered everything.
All right. The movie, the new one, is what it is from the book. Literally, the bathroom is covered in blood. Uh-huh. She's covered in blood. Everything's covered in blood.
Uh-huh.
The TV movies, the miniseries, the reason why is because back in the day, there was a limit of how much blood you could have.
Oh, yeah. I imagine. I mean,
without making it a certain rating.
And, but it's just funny to see the comparison where it literally was just a little like bleh. It out maybe it, yep. maybe reaches 2 feet.
It got, got on the mirror and like on and the on sink.
Her a little bit, but that was it. And then you just go to this movie where it's literally everywhere.
Yep. A Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez amount of blood is fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
It's super creepy because how much blood is all over her and in her mouth, and she's legitimately fucking terrified.
Mm.
But the whole buildup, like, she's looking down in the drain. You can see it's obviously not, clearly it's not a drain anymore. It's like, it's got like rock, like stone almost on the inside.
Like it's actual leading to the sewer, like straight to the sewer.
And then she goes and gets the tape measure and goes down almost 24 feet. And you're like,
yeah, that's not natural.
I saw that sink and there's a pipe that goes directly to the wall. There's no way that do that. And then you hear that kunk, kunk, mm-hmm. and you can hear it's like cement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, but then the hair.
Oh,
that's what really got me, is it wraps around her and it has that old school horror movie look where it's you can see it almost looks like it's being played backwards to make it look like the motion onto her arms, you know, but it's got that stuttering movement to it, and it keeps latching on her, and the more she's scared she gets, the more it gets her. That part just and then of course it erupts into blood into her face, no less. Like, it wasn't like just everywhere. It waits till he has her down, and you know at that point it's not trying to kill her. It's literally trying to scare the fuck out of her. So because it's feeding on that fear, so it's like, hey, she earlier was afraid of what? Bleeding,
mm-hmm.
blood. That's why she got tampons. What are we gonna do? Just annihilate that fucking room and her in blood.
Yep.
Gross, thick, dark blood. The hair was matted in blood. Not just hers, the hair that was grabbing her.
Yeah.
And then it pulls off and just pulls down. It reminded me of the thing.
Yeah.
Where it has like that weird motion and it just kind of retracts back into whatever it is. Goes in there, he comes in and is like, he's like, what the hell's going
on?
Her dad comes in and he's like, what is going on? And she's trying to tell him, like, that you don't, like, the sink, you don't see it, like, you, like,
the blood,
the blood, like, yeah. You know, she, and she's, she can't,
cowering,
she can't even say the word blood, like, it's like, and she, and he comes over and he touches her, and you can hear audibly him stepping in the blood, like, on the cart, on the rugs and stuff. And it just doesn't faze him because he's not seeing it. You know what I mean? It's, there's that illusion. It even
cuts back to him from his point of view, yeah. And there's nothing.
Yeah, and it's like, you're like, oh, shit. Like, he legitimately doesn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And she's so fucking scared. I was like, yes. Like, god damn it. It was so good. Number two, the clown room. Like, yeah. All of Niebolt's, the house on Niebolt Street was fucking amazing. That whole thing. But that room, the clown room, yes, I have I don't like clowns. We all know this. And it's not that got me. It's that whole setup.
Yeah.
Because that's the first time he gets to experience Pennywise. That's the first time Richie gets it. The other thing that makes me like that scene is, and it's a failure. I think it's a failure on the movie maker's part, but also it might just be this the writers, is the beep beep Richie. So not knowing, if you've seen the original, you know what it is referring to. But if you haven't read the books, Beep Beep Richie is what the Losers Club do to shut him up when he's on one of his weird rants and doing his shitty voice impressions. They say Beep Beep Richie when he's getting inappropriate, when they don't want him to be. They say Beep Beep Richie and he's supposed to shut up. And when he pops out and says Beep Beep Richie and he does the little thing, I was like, oh man. Like, and he's like, that kid, Finn Wolfhard, is fucking terrified at that point. Like, you could see it. Like, he's like, he's joking. I was like, oh, you know, that's scary. He's like, well, that's creepy. And he sees, like, the marionette version of him with maggots on his face, because that's what he said earlier in the movie. And then you see the wanted the missing poster with the word found written in blood, which one of my favorite effects on anytime you see the blood, if you pay attention, it drips upwards.
I didn't see that, no.
So even on the coffin lid, it does it. And on the doors, when they see not scary at all, scary, very scary, the blood's run. It's dripping up. On it. It's really interesting. But again, I see all that the second time I saw it. Not the first time, because the first time I was...
You're so engrossed in what's going on.
Like, literally, just like, I was glued. Like,
you've read the book, but you're still experiencing
that's the thing about
this view for the first time.
Yep, and to people who love the book, if you're afraid that they're going to ruin it, don't. They do such a good job of keeping everything you want from the book, the essence, the life, the terror from the book, but giving it a new light by changing a lot of the settings and how they do things, but keeps them the way that they were supposed to be done, but in a way so it's fresh. So you're kind of guessing, oh, what's going to happen here? Like, it's not the same. It's not the same, but it is the same. Mm. It's just like a different lens to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that scene is great because it had that, oh, it's not that bad. It's like, he's just like, they're just fake clowns. But then the transition, the change, is twofold before he pops out. Is when he goes to turn to run to the door, that little midget one is there and it's looking up at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he starts to back up, and that's when he reaches and touches it, and it kind of like loses that fear factor for him. Like, because earlier in he talks about how he's afraid of the clowns, because that's why the clown room was obviously his. And then you're like, so he's like, he loses that little bit of fear. And as he starts to walk, or as he turns, that's when the coffin lid pops up, and it says, you see the missing poster and the found written on there. And he starts to walk. When he gets closer to it, one of the clowns in the background follows him.
Yeah.
And it's super slow and, like, really deliberate, but it's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are just, like, chilling there. But it's one that's, like masked in shadow, and it's not forefront, like, not lit up by, like, where he's at. And then he gets there and he's like, well, that's super creepy. He's like, not having this. And he slams it down because, again, the second time I noticed, he's actually wearing the exact same outfit as he is in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the same shirt on and you know, the glasses and all that fun stuff. So he slams it down and he's like, no. And that's when he goes. And that's when, obviously, he pops out of it like a jack-in-the-box. The lid slams back down and he lands on it in that weird fucking stance, like crouch, kneel thing. And that's when he pops at him and starts running in that weird, his head doesn't stay completely still, but like moves separately from his body, and he has that leaping run that Mike's talking about, where it's super high knees and his arms are, you know, like not moving in the way it should if you're trying to run for speed, you know what I mean? And then, of course, Billy opens the door, he gets out, and he slams against it. Just a fantastic fucking scene. And then my number one is the slideshow scene, because the fact that it's truly terrifying. It's fucked up. That whole scene is super fucked up, and it's done so well with the uses of light and dark, because when they're first sitting there, the slideshow's on, and so that's lighting up the room for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really happening other than they're figuring out where the well house is at, and it's on Niebolt Street, and then it all comes to a point where Eddie fuels it over the top.
Yeah.
He rips down the map, starts emitting his fear about not wanting to do this, and it just builds. And because he's doing it, you know the other kids are getting scared too, and the fear gets palpable and built up, and that's when Pennywise enters into that, and the slideshow starts clicking, and it goes from, oh, it's just family photos, to that one picture, and it starts getting closer to Georgie, and it's on Georgie's face, and he has that happy face, and then it jumps to his mom, and it's
starting to speed up. Slowly moves, yeah, because
it's starting to speed up in almost like motion in a way, like shitty, like old school motion, and the wind blows the hair in front of her face completely. And then it starts to blow, like it starts to die down and go away, and you notice that it's turning into a different face. But if you watch the clothes change, so one picture, its face is almost complete, and you can see it's still her. Then the face is completely changed, and it's a different outfit.
Yeah,
she's not wearing the dress; she has the ruffles.
Yeah,
but they're not all there yet. And then the next one, it starts to go down. You can see it's him. The ruffles are there, and then it's like has it. And then when Beverly yells, "Someone turn it off!" and Mike kicks it. It goes all skewed, and that's it. It's nothing, and then it flashes again. It's him, but all blurry and fucked up, and he's staring right at Stan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going, and then it goes away, and they're like, "Oh Jesus!" And like it's just done, right? And then bam, lights kick back off or back on, and he's right there in the fucking room, just giant and mongoloidish, and like his head's fucking enormous, and he's got the razor sharp teeth, and he does that runish thing but he's like, at this point, because he's so big, he's almost crawling.
Yeah.
And he's just headed right towards the most scared person he can see, which is Beverly. She's cowering in the corner. And then, boom, they break the fear by turning it, like getting light in there. And boom, his power is gone.
Yeah.
You know, he had his fill. I mean, it was palpable. He's like, oh, I'm going to strike. And if they're scared the most, I'm just going to fucking munch down. And then, boom, the fear, like, it gets pushed enough backwards. Like, oh my God, like, thank you for.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, so fucking good.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Niebolt Street real quick before we end this, because we're done almost, I'm pretty sure. Niebolt Street, the first time they go in, which is the first time they actually, the kids actually got to see, we talked about last week on the show, is the first time they actually got to see him. That was the first scene the Losers Club got to see Bill Skarsgård in makeup as Pennywise.
Yeah, the actual filming of this movie.
The thing about that whole scene is a build up to how powerful he gets off their fear. Mm-hmm. So the seven of them, only three of them go into the house. The other four are outside, but they're also afraid, so they're fueling that him.
Mm-hmm.
And as it ramps up, he gets more powerful, and you can tell because he starts affecting them separately. First, it starts with the missing poster, gets them afraid. It's a little more fear, and they're starting to get real active. They hear the noise. They go upstairs. Then they see something at the end of the hall. They see Betty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the same time, Eddie hears the leper.
Yep.
So he's like, "Hey, like he separates him, but he's now in doing two things at once." Drags her out of the way. They run down there. Door slams shut. He tries to go. He rips open the floor. Eddie falls. He needs to focus on them. He does. He does the whole clown room. He does the Eddie's head popping up through the mattress, the gross fucking disgusting mattress, and want to do loogie. And then it starts to shake, and the burning tar-ish stuff, whatever that actually is, comes out from the mattress, and it's, you know, obviously the three doors.
Yeah.
Betty Ripson's hanging there with fucking, you know, wiggling around, where the fuck are her legs? And then at that same time, Eddie's being essentially is meeting Pennywise. He comes out of the refrigerator. He's scaring. He's got him. He's just like he's playing with his hand. Like, I'm gonna bite you. And then you can see he's transformed. And then they open the door. He tells him, "You got it. It's just like the poster. It's not real. It's just your fear."
Yeah.
He breaks it, and that's when he's back, and he's just Pennywise. He doesn't have the razor sharp teeth, and he's like, "Oh shit! Like they're not."
The
fear just dropped out. Like, I don't have as much power.
Yeah.
And then he ramps it up again when they're all in the room, and he starts to transform. And then, of course, the battle ensues. She stabs him in the face. I love that part because it goes through, and you can see the blood going up again. And then his face is torn. You can see part of the razor sharp jaws, and then there's still skin or whatever that is between it and his mouth, and it's all fucked up. And then he's like, does that little like marionette dance out? And I was like, oh god, you're so fucking creepy.
Yep, and that's why, that's why I love that scene.
Yeah, my favorite thing about every time you see him, he has that like, because at first it's like little bits of it, you know, you see him, you don't really see him really. It's just flashes of him because like even with Ben, it's like it's the little burnt kid.
Yeah,
and then it's only right before he runs into the librarian, you see him real quick. Same thing with Mike in the alleyway with the burned hands outside the door.
You only see
him. The form of him. Like you see like a blurry image.
Really, like things. Waves too.
Yeah,
in that scene was ugh.
Yeah, and you see the glowing eyes. So little things like that. Even like with Stan, you don't really see him at all because you see the creepy lady from the photo or the picture, the painting. Which is still like one of the creepiest things in that entire movie. That fucking broad with the weird face, and like, why would you have that picture up?
Right.
Like, I know someone in your family probably painted, and they're terrible at. But like, no, that legitimately is the scariest painting I've ever seen in my life. Like, legitimately the scariest thing I've seen in my life. But like the little things like that, just like the building, like just the way. But my favorite thing that they do with him when you actually see him is that disproportionate. Like he's bigger. In ways and things like when he jumps off and he lands, he's bigger than he should be.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's as close as he would be, but he's like oddly bigger. And I don't know if it's because they stage him differently or the camera angles, whatever. It's like oddly big. And even when they're fighting him, he like tries to fight back. You see he's bigger, and then when they're attacking, he shrinks down. Like he's just like they change his physical size. But that whole thing of like the way they make him and the movements, and you realize like he's just because. That form is not really it. It's just a form. It is a puppet in a way, and it doesn't move the body properly with the whole head sitting still and fucking doing the dance and the whole jump. It's not. It's like a something that doesn't know how a human's supposed to move, moving it like he thinks a human should move, and it doesn't move all the parts together. Like, if you and I try to do that, we would literally break our necks.
Yeah.
Like, we would have the worst neck pain in the world, but because it doesn't know how to move it properly and doesn't fucking care.
And that's why that would explain the scene in the basement.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of pulls away.
Yep. Yeah, because it's essentially it's a puppet of this interdimensional thing.
Yeah.
Trying to leech off the fear and everything. And so it's literally just like the scene in the cellar with Georgie and Billy, where you just realize, oh fuck, Georgie's a puppet right now. And when he slams down the water and just charges after Bill, you're just like, none of that was, it wasn't anything. It was just a puppet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he gets pulled off, and, you know, and that's the whole thing is like when the eyes roll back, you realize the reason he's wall eyed is they're not real eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a focal point to look normal.
Yeah.
And when he goes to transform, they roll back, and then the face deforms. Like when he goes, when he's showing Beverly, the deadlights, and it transforms, it has that fucked up jaw with all the rows of teeth. And you see those three lights running, and then you hear the voices. That's the deadlights, by the way. They're not in his eyes. It's the old 1990 movie. You realize like it is coming through that form in a different way, and you realize it's creature-ish, and like you see it, and like why well, thought because I was always wondering with all different pictures why his face makeup does that, and you realize when he does that the eyes roll back, the eyes lids close, and those slits become solid and they open up, and that's the actual jaw, the form. I was like, oh. Fuck, that's messed up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, it was so scary. Goddamn good.
There is one last thing that I want to ask you guys about.
Yes!
Maybe Cody will know a little bit because they might explain it in the book. The end.
Okay.
They beat Pennywise.
Yep.
They make a reference. The kids are starting to float down.
Yes.
Nothing after that. Those kids are dead?
Yes.
But nothing. They just all slowly walk off on their own ways. There's no...
So all the floating kids were dead?
Yeah.
But there's no, we need to get police down here. We found the kids, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing, closure to missing persons.
You will get that in chapter 2. I'd almost guarantee.
So when they get older?
Yes. You will find out what happens. You want me to tell you? I'll tell you what happens if you want to know.
I'll eventually read the book, so don't tell me. But it just seemed weird in the movie that it seemed like such a big thing. They even say it. They say the kids are coming down, and then just nothing. Nothing for the and then movie end.
I'm going to spoil it for you because I'm going to tell Mike because I know he's going to want to know. You want to know?
No, you don't.
I'll give you a hint. Eddie says it outside the school.
In the movie?
Yep. He says what happens. He doesn't know he knows yet. He doesn't know he knows the right... He said what happens, but he says what happens.
I don't remember.
That's what I'm going to give you. You have to either watch it again or try to remember what he says.
Okay. We'll end it there.
So Eddie, the guy who doesn't, takes fake pills. Boom! So that's it for this week's episode.
Yeah, gazebos.
There's gazebos! It's so funny. So that's it for this week's episode of Come Snatchly. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Float on.
Gross.
Yeah.